1236, please.
Amend Public Improvements Code sections on penalty for violation, permits required, and permit revocation terms in support of the Bureau of Transportation Right-of-Way Use Enforcement Program.
Sorry. Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Madam President. I'll turn it over to the Bureau of Transportation staff.
Thank you. And good morning, City Commissioners. I'm Caitlin Reff. I am the Program Development Manager and the Development Permitting and Transit Group at PBOT. And I'm here today to present to you a code change that would allow for PBOT to adopt a new administrative rule for right-of-way use enforcement. And for some context around what we mean with right-of-way use enforcement, I think many of us can relate or say that we have experienced scenarios such as a bike lane suddenly being blocked by construction vehicles or a sidewalk impassable due to overflow of a cafe or something similar, or a delay in driving or transit travel due to unpermitted work or improperly set up traffic control. And these things do happen despite a lot of great work that various divisions in PBOT do every day to write standards, develop manuals, and issue permits to guide work and community uses in the right-of-way. Unfortunately, when they happen, they can also be dangerous or cause significant delays to the traveling public. Unfortunately, PBOT does have existing code authority to penalize noncompliance and code authority to enforce our programs and our permits. Enforcement is something that we've done in various ways over the years, but until now, we have not had an umbrella program set up to guide us that really tells us how to consistently and effectively conduct enforcement actions. This program really started with our goals, our safety goals, and commitment to Vision Zero. And before I go on, a couple quick things to keep in mind as we talk about this program. It is not enforcement of right-of-way behavior. As we know, that's something that Portland Police enforce and PBOT partners with on things like the sidewalk management plan and the new pedestrian plaza rules. Those are separate. This also is not parking enforcement. That's handled by Parking Services Group. That's separate. What this is an enforcement program designed to be a tool for existing staff and existing programs to utilize that support code and permit conditions for traffic control, sidewalk cafes, community use and encroachments, and utility and street openings. So I'm going to go over quickly what the right-of-way enforcement program is and provide an overview of how it's been collaboratively developed and shared with stakeholders. We started a working group in March of 2017 that was primarily internal to PBOT divisions that issue permits, but also included consultations with the City Attorney's Office and interagency collaboration, specifically with Bureau of Environmental Services and the Bureau of Development Services, who both have well-established programs for enforcement. We identified the need for a consistent approach across city agencies, and both of these programs have been very informative. As part of education for this update, we've leveraged meetings convened through the Get Portland Moving program, the Working Group, Regional Construction Group, Franchise Utility Group, and more. We sent informational email to our listserv of nearly 1,400 engineers, contractors, and consultants. We have an FAQ, an enforcement website, and this has now been included in the current plans examiner. We've been attaching a flyer to electronic and paper permits issued since September and will continue to do so. And last, we're piggybacking education on enforcement with the launch of a new PBOT traffic manual, which provides contractors and other users enhanced guidance on safe and temporary traffic control measures. So why do we need an enforcement program? As I started, there's just a lot more happening in the right-of-way right now. From private construction to city capital projects, livable streets initiatives like cafes and street seats, and more. And with that, we've seen an increase in scenarios that can result in unsafe conditions or failure to accommodate the traveling public. What is our program objective? It's really to support the other complementary efforts that we have going on to keep people moving. It's also compliance and safety. We're focusing on educating those that are doing work in the right-of-way how to do it with safety as their priority. Consistency and transparency in how we implement and interact with the public. And empowering staff. So as I mentioned, this is a tool that will be used by existing programs and staff to drive results, to help encourage and administer compliance in a more timely manner. It's worth noting that in October of 2016, the City Council supported and adopted a new administrative rule for safe accommodation of bicycles and pedestrians in and around the work zones, and this enforcement framework will support traffic engineers in administering that policy.
Can you hold with this picture for a second? Because yes. This is a familiar site in Portland, a construction site where they have moved the fence onto the roadway, blocking the bike lane and also blocking the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. And is the point of this picture that part of your objective here is to crack down on this?
Yes.
Because what this, of course, does is forces bikes into the main lane, which is unsafe. And there's a, you know, if you go through the inner east side, for example, where there's a lot of construction, you run into a gauntlet, veritable gauntlet, mm-hmm. where it seems like construction companies put the fences wherever they want, either blocking bikes or cars or making it almost impossible with pedestrians to navigate the sidewalks. And so you'll be tackling that issue?
Yes. And I should say I'm here with Ryan Mace, and I don't know if you want to speak to that in any more detail in terms of permit conditions and how this will address.
Yes, so I'm Ryan Mace. I am the utility permitting manager for the Bureau of Transportation. And so, yes, the picture here that you're seeing is not in compliance with the new 8.12 administrative rule, which was passed by City Council last October. And so as part of our traffic control requirements and part of the rollout of our new traffic manual, which we are educating the contractors on now, we'll be ensuring that enforcement of that manual will include sites such as this.
Is it your sense that contractors really need to be educated on the fact that they can't block a bike lane? Is this so obscure a rule that in terms of safety, or that they can't block certain critical intersections where disabled people gain access and things like that?
I believe that in our older standards, they did not reflect the need that 8.12 required, and we are one of the few jurisdictions in the state that actually has such a rule in place. So our new traffic manual will address that situation, and so the education and outreach is really letting them know what their resources are so that they can safely and appropriately place these things in the right-of-way.
Thank you.
So next, just quickly, how will enforcement actions be determined? This is similar to the Bureau of Environmental Services programs that enforcement actions will be based on a classification system. Class 1 would be the most severe or really unsafe violations, so like what we were just talking about, where Class 3 would then be more for encroachment violations or those that really pose no threat to public safety. This approach does put accommodation for autos, bikes, and pedestrians all on equal footing, and like Ryan was just saying, in support of the Safe Accommodation Administrative Rule. The penalty amounts will be based on the new penalty schedule that is annually adopted, and it was adopted this last June by Council. And what is the process and who is responsible? These are the overall steps that an enforcement action would take from intake to final determination and code hearings, if that's applicable. Violations will be found in one of two ways, either discovery in the field via a permit inspection or drive-by, or complaint, which would be via PDX reporter or calling 823-SAFE. We are working to ensure that inspectors and traffic engineers proactively focus in areas with significant construction work, in centers and corridors, or on the Vision Zero high crash network. Inspection will be done by existing public work inspectors, traffic engineers, or individual program staff to verify the issues in the field. And those completing inspection will provide information on required steps to get into compliance and re-inspect as needed. Once the violation has been resolved and required time has passed to allow for either administrative review or appeal, the final determination would be issued. So when is the program effective? The ordinance includes a proposed effective date of January 2018. And that is the end of our presentation. So Ryan or I are happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Questions?
First, just a comment. We have a new system in place now with screens. And Carla, we have our first test on the PowerPoint. It worked on our screens, presumably worked for the public.
So, yeah, I don't think we had any. We've got YouTube problems, but it's,
well, that's progress.
It's showing on TV. Yeah,
because it's when people take the time and the trouble to do a PowerPoint, we want to make sure the public can see it. And so thank you, Mustafa and others.
Mustafa and BTS.
And BTS, yeah. Everyone who's working on these technology upgrades. Thank you very
facilities.
Much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Would anybody like to testify on this item? Please come on forward.
At least two people already signed up, Star Stauffer and Mary Sipe.
And then Ms. Walsh, there's another seat, so you're welcome to come up.
Good morning. I'll just jump right in. My name's Mary Sipe. I strongly support this proposal and these changes. In the neighborhood where I live, in the Pearl District, there's one street where there's so much construction, I can walk along the street on one block, Then I have to cross to the other side of the street, go up that block, cross to the other side of the street, go up that block, and cross again because of all the construction sites that are blocking the roadway. Also, another issue that we deal with is the sidewalk cafes. And in the building that I live in, the income-restricted building, which I would say out of 200 units, probably 150 of the people are disabled or elderly. We have many people in wheelchairs, scooters, and walkers. The restaurant on the corner in the ground floor of our building, in the summer, the tables, I've gone out with a measuring tape and I've checked the code, and they're like this close to being within the parameters of meeting the code as long as the chairs are pushed up against the tables. But then once people start sitting down and then they add their Burmese Mountain Dog sitting beside them, it's blocked. The sidewalk is blocked. And one of the things I would like to suggest is that they go out and inspect before and after giving these permits, because some of the things that I think don't get taken into consideration is that you might measure from the building to the corner, but there is a utility pole. And so in this particular instance, there's two utility poles, I think, for the streetcar. And so you can't get by, even though they're not necessarily breaking the code, but the configuration doesn't accommodate it. And I also would like to suggest that perhaps they, when they go out and they measure, maybe they give guidelines to the restaurant owners as to the dimensions of the tables and the chairs that would meet the requirements. Because the first owner of this one building restaurant, he bought tables that were way oversized. And he spent a lot of money on them. The other thing is I would like to ask, how many inspectors are we going to have available to be inspecting when there are complaints and compliance issues? Because I know with the noise control office, they have essentially one inspector, and there's no way that they can stay on top of the codes. And is this just going to be another code that we can't enforce because we don't have the staff to go out there and enforce it? And again, I think the penalties should be sufficient to influence and motivate the owners and the construction companies to comply with the code. Thank you.
Good morning. Again, for the record, my name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. No, just don't do this. One of the things that really makes me nervous is when government is just perpetuating rules and regulations that they can do. You can do this, and you're going to do it, probably. However, think about this. When I walk along Hawthorne, and I see those little shops, they have tables outside, I know for a fact that I'd be willing to bet a mocha that the majority of them do not have permits. They just put them out there to try to make a living. That's the problem that you run into with this stuff. You know, it seems to me that if you wanted to do something, you would have volunteers to go out and talk to the owners of these places and say, "Hey, Mr. Construction Guy, everybody's complaining. We can't get past your construction. Why don't we work and do something?" It is unbelievable to me sometimes that I'm on the side of the business alliance. In this case, I am. Because I also see the probability of you extending this not to tables and chairs, but to people camping on the street. And I get very nervous with that one. When you start putting people in jail because you write them tickets and they can't pay the damn things, and then they get a warrant and they go to jail. That's government overreach. That's not thinking about it. That's just thinking about the little piece of action where it inconveniences us to walk across the street and go around. And then make a phone call to City Hall and say, "Do something about that." And then City Hall says, "We're going to do that." and they send their volunteer down, and they say to the boss, knock it off. And if it's the city, they're going to do it. Because you do have the power to go after them, and they know that. So use it. But for God's sake, don't interrupt the business. And don't hurt them. That's what I'm saying. You write tickets, it hurts them. Don't do it. Just send in volunteers. I'll volunteer one day. 2 hours.
Thank you.
Because I'm old.
Star Stoffer. A couple of things. I'm rereading this. PBOT Working Group. Who is that? How much is that costing us? Interagency collaboration. Exactly with who? And how much is that interagency collaboration costing us? GPM and outreach meetings. I mean, how many different working groups and meetings do we need? Permit flyers, what's that going to cost us? Website and email, who is running that and what is the cost of running this website and email? Where are the emails? What are you discussing in the emails? And exactly what's happening that's not happening in these working groups? Also, are these work groups going to be made public since this pertains directly to the public? Ongoing education about what? It seems to me that PBOT may not be the best qualified to be educating the public on right-of-ways, safety standards, and such things because they can't even seem to understand that putting a wheelchair van accessible spot on a hill where there's a double hill where the person in the wheelchair would also have to cross max tracks on a busy street just to participate in city government. These don't seem like the sort of people who are on the ball enough to be educating the public about right-of-ways and safety. Director's team, and then there's city council. How many people need to be on this? So it's going to cost the city a bunch of money. So in order to recoup this money to, I don't know, justify the ridiculous, irresponsible use of our tax dollars and the budget that you all have to work with, that's exactly what this seems like. It's like all these construction companies that get together at the end of their fiscal year and really ramp up their construction so that they can justify their budget for next year. Where's this money coming from? Why is so many different collaborative groups, meetings, emails, discussions, and all this need to happen? If like, you know, Mr. Fish said, this isn't that obscure of an idea. So why do we need all of this stuff to make this happen? What's with all the bureaucracy here? And then, like Joe said, the people that pay for this are the small business owners that cannot afford to pay fines to make up where the city is failing them to begin with. This city and the infrastructure in this city is just not set up for the heavy population that it's taking on. And that is not something that these local business owners need to be taking on as a burden. And PBOT is certainly not qualified to be educating the public about the proper use of right-of-ways and public use and how people are going to be able to get around, considering they don't even know the difference between not being ADA compliant and being ADA compliant. So this, I would say no as well. This seems ridiculous to me, and it's a terrible waste of money, time, and energy. Thank you.
Discussion? This is a non-emergency ordinance. It passes to second reading.